Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 196, part 1, Doubting. Today is Friday, May 27th, 2011. Just a quick announcement for those of you who were in the tornado and suffered damage in the tornado in North Minneapolis. We had extensive damage, a lot of trees down, a lot of houses, roofs taken off, and praise God, there were only two deaths, one during the tornado and one after, from a man who was helping his neighbor. So just want to let you know, if you need to register for groceries, we are closed on Monday for the Memorial Day holiday, but we will be open on Tuesday at 9:30. You can come in, bring your picture ID, a current piece of mail, and you can register your household for monthly groceries. So be sure to do that. And we are just thankful that Pastor Paul's Club and Disciples Ministries Mikra Kodesh Synagogue was not affected by the tornado. If you are coming to the church for groceries on Tuesday, if you come on the south side, you should be able to get through. I know they've been doing a lot of cleanup, and a lot of those trees, they have been just hauling trees out left and right. So be sure to come in, get groceries. And for those of you who can't afford to send a donation, we would appreciate your support. God bless you and have a great Memorial Weekend.
Today's message is entitled, Simply Doubting. I think much of the problem in people following and trusting in the Lord is due to doubt. You ever find yourself doubting? All the time. 1 Samuel 27:1, and David said in his heart, this is a man of God, a warrior, been through all kinds of things. I shall now one day perish by the hand of Saul. Yep, do you hear me? Perish! He gets himself all nervous and frustrated, and he talks out of his own fear and his own heart. I'm going to perish. They ask me, when I had mentioned on a program, I said, you know, there's a lot of mentally ill people walking the streets. And then they said, do you mean there's actually people that are mentally ill that are out there? I said, well, hey, about once a month I have a nervous fit, and I'm mentally ill myself. I says, I have need of the physician. Do you? See, sometimes when we see people like that, well, then we get fearful because we see ourselves in them. We don't want to deal with that. So rather than deal with that, we put them in an old people's home or something like that, or a ward of some kind. We try to hide that thing away so we don't have to look at it. Well, yeah, there are days when every one of us need a straitjacket. It's when we don't know that we need the physician every day that we're in trouble. We all have need of the physician, Jesus. So we really can't judge David here. And David said in his heart, I shall now one day perish by the hand of Saul. Because he was having one of those weird days or months or whatever, however long it took him to come out of this thing. But many think the doubting of God's loving kindness to be a very small thing. Well, the song says, I've learned to trust in Jesus. We don't learn that by just having it easy. There has to be something that you had to trust him in. There had to be something you had to go through. And then I hear someone on the radio saying, even now, well, I'm weak. And they use that as an excuse. I'm weak. Yeah, true, but no, actually you're strong in excuses. See, because the scripture says, in your weakness, my strength, God is saying, is made perfect. So don't stop with a half a scripture. And then someone I hear saying that doubts and fears cause fruit and help us to advance in achievement and in experience. Well, it's sort of a fruit in a way, but it's rotten. I learn a lot when I go to pick up vegetables and fruits and so on like that. And side by side in the same crate, there'll be a hard one, there'll be a semi-hard one, there'll be a soft one, there'll be a totally rotten one. Now, in this old body that you're sitting in here today with, it's perishing. It's going from baby fat to solid to crow's feet around the eyes to sagginess under the arms and puffiness under the cheeks and pancake makeup, and so you don't dare smile or your whole face will fall off. But it's perishing. Passing away. Made out of dirt, made out of clay. But anyway, you ministers listening, and there's a few of you. Must not coddle the weak. See, we must smite the sin, but encourage the sinner. And never, ever, ever, preacher, have people to doubt God's kindness and love. It's always that God is what? Love. He didn't acquire it. He didn't go to school. He didn't teach himself how to have it. He is. He's the essence of it. He is. Love. So never ever put a doubt in someone's heart, especially as to their salvation. Because, see, salvation is of the Lord, and for a good reason, because we'd have people unsaved every day. Nope, not saved today. Well, you looked real saved today, because they smiled at you. Then when they give you a hard time, it'd be like telling your kids. They're bawling and screaming, you aren't even born. Get out of my face. A lot of parents wish that. I wish this kid was never born. Why'd they ever have this monster? But never ever have people to doubt God's loving kindness. Because unbelief is a kissing cousin to atheism. See, atheism denies God's existence altogether. And unbelief then also denies his goodness, and since goodness is essential to God, he is all good. Isn't that the same effect? If you tell someone that's really suffering and so on like that, you say, well, God isn't good. Isn't that denying the goodness of God, the essence of God, what God really is, goodness and all goodness and all mercy and all love? Isn't that a form of atheism? Isn't that beating around the bush and saying the very same thing? And so I believe this is the very worst of sins to cause slanderous suspicion upon God's love. Know how we do that. We're so apt at doing that. Having people to mistrust God. Now, methinks many legalists judge and measure God's love with their own, which is hardly any at all. If you go on your self-love and how much you love people, you're always going to find fault with them. Your love only runs a certain, some days you love them a lot. The world says, love them and leave them. You ever heard that one? Love them and leave them. Well, we do that all the time. Are you hearing this? And so, you legalists listening today, your love is very limited. I'll have to say this. Non-existent. It does not exist. Under pressure, it falls. See, any time that we're dedicated to do something and do it not, and God has told us to do it, and we know to do it, that's sin. And see, if you've never been through anything, and you've never trusted in the head to trust in the Lord, how will you ever know the love of God? Love that overlooks all things, beareth all things, endureth all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered. How will you ever know that type of love? See, because if I mistrust his oath and will not believe his promise, sealed, by the way, by the blood of his own son, I count the oath of God to be unworthy of my trust. And you see then by our deed, I accuse God to be false in his covenant and in his oath. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I offer you a free gift, the life of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb shed for you. And I hope today to show you that this unbelief of God is the fountain of many sins, innumerable. I mean countless, measureless. Sort of like those clouds we saw a week ago or so, those funnel clouds that are the mother of much ruin and disaster. So dark is unbelief. It's apparent of many crimes, unbelieving. Because unbelief is like a virus, like a growth, like a disease, like a cancer. And if it's unchecked, it will rob, it will kill, and it will destroy. Now, who does that remind you of? The devil. Rob, kill, and destroy. And so someone says, now God doesn't love you. See what you did? Now God doesn't love you. How could he ever possibly love you? Well, you're going on your own love. And so you cause unbelief. You can even speak that to yourself. Maybe you're listening on the radio today. Maybe you'll hear this tape. Maybe you'll be in Sweden or Africa or someplace, and you'll somehow get a hold of this tape. Maybe you thought that God totally forgot all about you. That's not so. Do you forget about your children? Well, you can't. They won't let you. They always return, don't they? Well, they can take off, but they always come back. There they are, bag and baggage. Oh, they might hate you for a season. No, I hate you. I don't want nothing to do with you. But they always return. Darn it. How many hearing this? And see, you have to have a little bit of humor in what you preach because it just naturally lays people out and kill them. All I'm trying to do is wake up the audience to the fact that the carnal mind is enmity against, it's against God. Period. Carnal mind doesn't love God, can't love God, isn't fashioned that way. But I believe you will see this in this incident in David's history, that unbelief then is a very damnable sin, that it should be condemned by every believer, that you should be on guard against it all of the time, that it should be struggled against, the Bible says, wrestle, that it should be exposed. Oh, you're having a down day. You're so, I am so depressed. Now, depression is a real thing. I'm not going to try to say it isn't there, because it is. You ever get depressed? Well, I know that you listening on the radio say that's very negative and you shouldn't put such thoughts in people's heads. But yet, you've been depressed. Why not deal with a real problem, depression? Well, how are you going to get out of it? By believing. I'm depressed, but I'm going to get up, put on my face, put on my hair if that's the case, put on my clothes, and get busy. Now that's believing past your depression. Now you out there at St. Peter, or maybe that you're listening to me and you're ready for the hospital, let's put it that way. Maybe you're even going so far as you feel like you're ready for the straitjacket. Struggle against that. Fight it with every believing tool you have. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you go on, you walk right out of that hospital. Because a physician can always deliver you. Always! I don't know, this is a real heavy one this time. Well, hey, we're dealing with a heavy God here. And take it from me, God is able to lead you out, and He always makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I don't know. I've been in this one for a long time. You get up and walk on out of it. How do you get out of a burning house? You just sit in there and let it fry you? Why, you get up and make it. You walk out. You run out. You jump out a window. How many hearing this today? You're on the radio. I mean, it is so simple and it is so basic. That the way out of a thing is to get up and walk out of it. That's what your walk is all about. But if you sit on your own self-made dunghill, you'll get used to it. No one will come around you because you raise such a stink. But see, you're used to it. You're used to living in the catacombs of your own dunghill. Are you hearing this? Struggle against it. Fight against it. And I believe it should be the object of our deep repentance and abhorrence. We must hate it and treat it as a real thing that it is. It is a spirit. Now let's just listen here to David's sin and sorrow. And may it be a great light today, and you listening on the radio, to warn us of evil. David said in his heart, I shall now perish. Now he's down. Do you ever feel like you're going to perish when you're down? How many felt that way? Oh, I'm just melting. I'm going under. This is the third time. No lifeline in sight. Oh, my God. Oh. But anyway, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And so I think we got to look at three things here today. Number one, that what he said in his heart was false. And the heart, by the way, is a workshop. Every idea you have falsely against God or good, it's a workshop. And that's where they all come out, and out of the fullness of the heart. Then you go out and you act it out in the world. And I think, nextly, we shall ask the question, how did he come to think so? How did you get that way? And you got to kind of backtrack on this. And three, I think we should look at what mischief has came of such hard and such a hard, unbelieving thought. Look at all the mischief it's caused to think that way. How many are hearing this? And so, number one, the thought in David's heart was false. And you're going to ask me, how do you know it was from the heart? Because he's spoken. You can always tell what's in a person's heart because they'll always have to speak it. Every time. And how does it get into the heart? It drops from the mind. It drops from the frontal lobes, and it drops down into your heart, and you're convinced of it. You've talked yourself into it. My God, I'm sinking. My God, I'm blue. My business is failing. Everything is going on. I don't know what's going to happen. I wish I was dead. I think I actually feel like jumping off of this building. Now, of course, we're dealing with insanity, but it's the truth. Those thoughts are there, and who gives you those thoughts? Why, the devil. He is the master at it. And you, by the way, when you receive it, are master receivers. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It loves. It agrees with everything that Satan has to say. And so then, going to number one, the thought in David's heart was false. Now, how can we conclude it's false? Because there was positively no evidence, none whatsoever, to prove it. And on no occasion had the Lord ever deserted his servant. Never. Now, you think back on your own life, and you're still living. Isn't that proof that God didn't desert you? Well, it wasn't easy. I didn't ask you the question how hard or how easy that it was. Are you not still sitting? Are you not still listening on the radio? Answer the question. Yes or no? See, because if you don't give a person like that, it's like if they're on a jury or on a trial. If you don't get, they'll find all kinds of excuses, and then they'll get into talking about their problem. We don't want to talk about the problem. We want to talk about how God delivered you. Did he deliver you to this present age? Did he? How many can say, yes, he did? Put your hands up. Put them up. Did you get half a deliverance? Huh? That just floors me when somebody does with their finger down below like this. They go. But anyway, on no occasion had God ever left his servant David. And he had been placed in very perilous conditions many, many times before. We've read all the stories. And every time, God's grace, God's strength was what? Sufficient. always. Well, just look at me, I'm here, but look what a terrible mess I am. That's because you fought all the way. There's heel marks all across the kitchen floor. Well, I should say corn marks, because you were too depressed to even put on your shoes, your cat paw heels. Say amen, somebody. You're so busy and you're so down, you tripped over your old dirty old robe. Bertner fell into the dirty dishes. But every time in David's life, God's strength was sufficient for him. And let's face it, he had a variety of trials. And a way out had been provided each and every time for David. Every time. Not once or twice. Every time. And no way could he look back and say, see, here's a time when God forsook me. He didn't meet my need that time. How do you know what your need is? See, now with the popular preaching, they say, oh, I prayed in faith and it didn't happen. Did you really think that God always said yes to your dumb prayers? Something he doesn't even pay any attention to. Huh? Oh, don't say that. There are a lot of prayers that God will not get ear to. And why? Because if there be iniquity in your heart, God won't even hear it. Now, I gave you the scripture and I'm off the hook. Because there's a whole lot of people that just wait for one word to come out wrong. Oh, God always answers prayer. Yes. And sometimes he says, no. Positively, no. Do you say that to your children? Can I run out in the street by faith and run through all the traffic and believe? If you have faith, child, go right ahead. Go on out at 5:15 in the afternoon on the freeway. You'll be all right. Well, that's what we're hearing, isn't it? Isn't that a bunch of nonsense? Yes, it is. Oh, see, Pastor Paul, you're not into the higher teaching and learning in faith. Yeah, oh, hey, I'm not ignorant. Okay? I'm not stupid. Guy came up on me with a great big empty wine jug. And he was swearing and he was cussing and we had women and so on in the church. I said, sir, you'll have to leave there. And the guy says, hey, can't you see what he's got in his hand? I says, I know how to duck. Huh? Are you hearing this? I'll explain it later. And anyway, then, are you one of those people that by faith you stand there and believe the bottle will come that close to your head and it won't, it'll just shatter before it reaches your head? No, I says, it'll shatter when it reaches my head. I know that. I'm not ignorant. How many are hearing this? But is there ever a time that God totally left you out? I'm sure your children have complaints about you. Huh? And then when they get a little older, they can see why you did it. Can you look back and see why God said no to you or didn't answer? Have your parents got to the point where they've never even answered you sometimes? Have they ever said, I am not going to answer such a stupid question? My mother used to tell me that does not deserve an answer. Why? Because I have told you, I have given you that lesson several times before. What am I raising here? A bunch of idiots? Well, I mean, that's the way my mother used to talk. So? But he could go way back into his boyhood and you read all about him. The lion, you remember that? With David? and the bear and the giant, that great big 9'8" no deodorant giant, or the Philistines? No, sir, he had no proof, none whatsoever, that God would ever leave his anointed. Never. Do we ourselves condemn a man without evidence? Do we, even in the world court? Well, then why condemn our loving Father with no evidence? Is there any evidence to substantiate your claim that God is not meeting your need right now? I challenge anyone listening, challenge you, here or in heaven or in hell, to bring any proof that God is untrue. But unbelief comes in because everything is an all wine and roses, like the song says, the days of wine and roses. Are you hearing this? And so we then pre-conclude that, is there really a God? Does he hear? Because that's unbelief. And then, of course, there's iniquity in our heart and God can't hear it. Did your parents ever say, I won't hear of it. I don't want to hear another word about it. How many have had their parents say that? And you keep after them after and say, hey, I don't want to hear no more about it, okay? Shut up. You think God says shut up to you once in a while? All the time. Oh no, he never says that. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, paraphrase, shut up. Okay? Why do you have to prove everything? Because there are so many unbelievers, they want you to prove it all the time. Do you have any scripture to substantiate that? Well, let me tell you something about Scripture. You can take the Scripture and you can put it in the letter and you can kill people, see? Are there not extenuating circumstances? Are there not a multitude of Scriptures to go by? Or is there just one? To fit our own personal need on maybe giving someone the sword. But I challenge anyone listening from the pit or from the ranks of the perverted of the earth that may just happen to have turned me on. Any truly tried believer who has long experienced being with the Lord and has trusted Him against much difficulty can tell you this: let God be true and every man a liar. And that is accurate. Did you know, in accordance with standing beside God in all truth, that you are a liar? David goes further. He doesn't say that you're a liar. He says you are a lie. Huh? Well, you don't leave a person much, do you? That's the idea, for you to turn to Jesus and get off of yourself. Isn't that it? We're dealing with the flesh. Now, hey, messages that please the flesh, they're no good because they just go out and they're more miserable when they came in. Now, we got to deal with the flesh thing here, see? See, your spirit will love this kind of teaching, and now the flesh won't wrestle against it and fight it and kick it and everything else. Horrible message! Horrible! Speech was deplorable. Look, he looks worse. They said that about Paul. What a funny, ball-headed, knobby-kneed little old man. That's what they said. And his speech is deplorable. And where are his credentials? And he had led all them to Jesus. The second go-around, they ask him, say, do you have any credentials? And so today, let's deal with unbelief, shall we? Let's allow our sense of justice to expel it. Let's be just to God as well as to man. Why not be just to God? Why not say that God does have a will? Why? What good is it to say, I know the will of God? Do you? Well, then it isn't wills God. It's your interpretation of what you think God is. Do you know exactly what your parent, you listening on the radio, you that smoking dope and are meaner than hell itself to your parents? God, I ran into one the other day. I did. And I almost had to tell her. And she was in a cafe, and her mother was in there, and she was waiting tables, and the daughter was, I don't care, you make me sick, shut up, she says. And all these people, and this mother is just a real sweet mom, you know what I mean? Maybe that's her problem, she's too sweet. Maybe she should have put a cook pan over the kid's head and banged it with a spoon. Bong! God knows I felt like it, forgive me, but that's the truth. Huh? Are you hearing this? And so then I just happened to look at this girl, and this girl went, don't you dare look at me, like little kids do. Do you ever notice a little kid, you'll look at them and go, what's the matter, honey? Touch me. Huh? And we can get to be 15 and 16 years old and still have the same hang-ups. The only thing is we cover our diapers up. Same person. How many are hearing this? And so you're listening on the radio, and you're smoking dope, and you're mean, and your friends aren't just right with you and all that, and you take it out on your dear old mom because they didn't call you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Turn me off, so I had to say it again when they turned me on. They turn you off, then they turn you on again. You back on again? That's good. Oh, you just want to hear what I have to say, huh? Well, hey, you'll hear it. Leave it on all the time. You got any guts? Leave it on then. Don't turn it off. And you sluggard, you leave it on too. Oh, I don't have to worry about them because they're too lazy to roll over and turn it off anyway. See, it's quartered too. Quartered it too. Put another nickel in the bed shaker, huh? In the hotel. But also, not only what David said in his heart without evidence, but it was contrary to evidence. Are you hearing this? Is there any reason why he should believe that God would leave him? Where are you now that I need you? Now that I need you, where are you now? Oh, where are you? Now that I need you, now that I need you, where are you now? Huh? Well, he's where he always was. See, I mean, he had many evidences that God neither could or would leave him. Thy servant slew both lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. And here he stood as a skinny little kid speaking faith in God against a giant from past evidences. Wasn't that good reasoning? Why not reason like that now, David? Why not reason like this? Why not say, thy servant slew the Philistine, and remember back, thy servant escaped from the javelin of Saul when he was playing his harp. Come on, little David, play on your harp. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whum! And this thing is going. When the mad monarch would have pinned him to the wall with his javelin. Thy servant escaped from all. And this is David speaking now in his own reasoning, and I would to God we would speak like this. Thy servant escaped when Saul pursued him in the tracks of the wild and in the tracks of the wild goats, the Bible says. In the caves of En-Gedi, thy servant escaped out of the power of Achish, the Philistine, and lo, this Saul, who seeks my head, out of his hand I shall escape also. But he doesn't say that. Wouldn't that have been a rational conclusion? Oh, preacher, you've been through things. My God, I know I have. Why now are you saying, God, will you take me through this thing? He might even do you one better and take you home. A guy told me the other day, he said, Paul, this is a Greek friend of mine, Paul, one day I surprise you very much. I surprise you so much you don't know, you can't contain. I'm going to tell you what it is. I says, hey, if it's money, write an IOU, will you? Encourage me. No, I don't tell you what this is. I cannot tell you. I will not tell you. So I thought, well, you know, that's kind of a cruel thing. I says, I have a surprise for you also. What's the surprise? He couldn't stand it. Tell me what the surprise is. I said, well, I can't tell you. It's going to be a surprise. It won't be a surprise if I tell you. I says, okay, I'll tell you what it is. Someday you're going to come in here, and they'll say, Pastor Paul died. Won't that surprise you? I says, which one of us is going to surprise first? Oh my gosh, I never think of that. Now he has sort of been arguing God with me all the time. Jesus. So I says, someday, I'll say, oh, I don't believe it, I'm so surprised. Demetrius, dead? Oh, that would be a surprise. How many hearing this? So what reason, preacher? God will work it out for you. He'll take you through. And not only through, he may even take you up. That's going through, ain't it? People don't like to talk about that, though, do they? I was working with a fellow out in back here, and I just happened to mention something like that. And he said, don't talk about death. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Hey, I says, I have to talk about it. You're dying right now. Look at you. Could hardly crawl up in this truck. 25 years younger than me. Got problems. You're dying, boy. Better get right with God. But wouldn't that have been a rational conclusion that God has taken me through all this? Why can't he take me through the next thing? Isn't that a proper way of dealing with the evidences? But to say after such loving kindness in the past, he's going to let me sink at last. I knew he'd do it. Oh, it's too good to be true. God is always true. You're the liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You're a liar. A liar. A liar. And to bring up the verdict, by the way, directly contrary to all the evidences, isn't that nonsense? Isn't it? And isn't, by the way, our case similar? Aren't we the same way? Aren't we similar to what we're reading here about David? Of course, you must understand that God has not left us at any time. He's with you when you're suffering, that's for sure. Isn't he? Well, God is with you more when you're suffering. A contrite heart. That's what God is after. Oh, sure, we have dark nights and bad days and cloudy days. But his love is always close by, isn't it? We have our cloudy days, but always there's a sun that comes through. Huh? Or do you like to sing? Oh, don't the moon look lonesome shining through the trees? Oh, don't the moon look lonesome shining through the trees? Huh? What are you, some kind of mole person, werewolf person, or what? But we have gone through many, many trials, but never at our loss. When you go through a trial, preacher, it's not to a loss, it's to a gain. Now you gain something. Now you know something. When you're growing up, don't you go through trials? And then how do you ever suspect you're going to learn anything if you don't have a trial? I remember one time, well, this was when I first went to school, and I was so skinny, I'm telling you, it was pitiful. I looked like a refugee from a concentration camp. Not because I wasn't fed, I was just skinny. And I had one of them little toe haircuts, you know, like they had years ago. I felt, you know, out of it. I was in the first grade, I think it was. And my mother, my mom, she put on short pants, long socks, run-over shoes, and a shirt. Well, we didn't have any money, but the shirt was hanging off. And then, to really seal my deal, she painted my fingernails. I guess I'll have to forgive her of that. It's been long enough. It's 53 years. I forgive you. My mother isn't here, but I forgive you. It's all right. Yeah. And so the whole time it was like this. I was hiding my fingernails. You know? I mean, it was terrible. It was torture. Huh? And then I had on these short pants, these knobby knees, and I was feeling so out of it and trying to get those nails. What are you doing? You chew your nails? Look like Bucky Beaver trying to get that stuff off. Huh? And I remember I went home and I just, ooh, boy. I was upset. But God took me through it. And He's taken me through one thing after another. I remember looking in the three-way mirror and I was just 13 years old, I guess. I was going into high school. And I had never seen a three-way mirror before. I'd always seen myself head-on, see? We never had money for three-way mirrors. And so I was getting my first suit. And I was standing there, I put the suit on, and I looked, there was somebody over there familiar, but didn't look like me, but it was somebody over there. Boy, I thought, what a big nose on this character. And I seen that nose, and I looked in the other side, and right then and there, I concluded I had a better side. So you always see me walking like this. But see, I started to build up self-consciousness and all those kind of things. But God took me through that. So I can understand. And I have a ministry in that. I have a ministry in, hey, don't be that way. You don't look the same to other people as you look. You're more critical of yourself than other people. People really don't care that much about you. That's a fact, okay? That's proven over and over and over again. We are so involved with ourselves, we don't have time for other people. I mean, it's the thing we fight all the time. We are self-contained, self-sufficient, self-thinking, self-governing, self-loving. Self is in there all the time. Comes right down to it. It's us. Isn't that right? You listening on the radio, the teeny bopper. You're still listening, are you? Still listening? Well, take a look at the brown all around your fingers and your burnt lips from sucking on weed. Huh? See, there is someone listening on her right now.
That was part one of episode 196, Doubting. Be sure to listen to part two Sunday, May 29th. Have a great weekend. God bless you. We'll be right back.
gato amor, el gato amor, el gato amor, ya, el gato amor. Oh, when the Lord get ready, el gato amor. Get ready, you got to move.